Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, worship team. And, you know, I don't take time to thank everybody all the time. There's so many people that are helping to make things go so well, and us to experience good ministry here in this place, from our people that are always working on sound and video, even during the week, our praise team that comes together during the week to get ready for today. Folks who are greeting and making coffee and just you name it. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things, and their hearts are in it, and I'm so grateful for that. And I want to say thank you this morning for being a part of ministry here. And if you're not, want to be, there's plenty of people that can get you involved in different types of ministry. And so turn your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we're going to continue. Really, this is the second part of a two-part series on prayer, a message entitled Plain Talk on Prayer. And last week, we just did some introductory things in reference to prayer. We came to understand that prayer simply is us talking to God and God talking to us. And that there are many different ways that we could approach God in prayer in terms of asking of things from Him for ourselves, interceding for others, praising Him, adoring Him, confessing our sins to Him. There's ways to express, different ways for us to express ourselves to Him in prayer. And then we sort of focused in on reasons to pray. And that was really the bulk of the sermon last week, and we talked about praying because it demonstrates our dependence on God and our faith in God, and it deepens our fellowship with God. We grow closer to the Lord in the efforts of prayer, and then it determines our reach for God. It allows us to be a part of things in this world that are making an eternal impact. And so we kind of set the stage for today's message, Plain Talk on Prayer, from James chapter 5 and verse 16. And I mentioned last week that we would be talking about what makes prayer effective. Now, we're only doing two sermons on prayer. As I was thinking about it this morning, I thought, you know, we could probably do a whole year on prayer and on the prayers in the Bible. There's a lot to cover. And so one of the ways to think about these two messages, and go back and study last week's as well, is kind of a starter for you, a starting place for you to dig deeper and go further with some of these ideas and learn what the Bible says about them. And we are looking at different passages to bring together what we would call somewhat of a theology of prayer. And so today, you can hold your place in James chapter 5 and verse 16. The other verses that we will share with you will be on the screen. Jot the references down. My suggestion is not to try to flip and find them, because I may go to the next one before you get through with that one. Okay? So we will have a lot of scriptures today. Write them down. Read them. Pay close attention this morning to what God is saying about prayer. J.R. read our passage for us earlier. I won't reread the whole passage, but just one verse. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Pray now that you would speak to our hearts, teach us and guide us into all truth. In these next few moments, we pray in Jesus' name. So this one verse, really the end of this verse, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now this is set within a passage that talks about praying, confessing our sins to one another, praying for the sick so that they might be healed. And then it says, there's a commentary on it, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," forgiveness and healing. And then the next few verses give us an illustration of that in the person of Elijah. It says Elijah was a man who had passions just like us. He prayed for it to rain, and it rained. He prayed for it not to rain, and it didn't rain. So there's an example of a righteous man praying effectively. And so this is the verse, the context, that we find this particular verse in. Now, I want to just zero in on the verse. This idea of effectual, fervent prayer is the idea of a prayer that is intense, a prayer that is energized by faith, fervent. Energized by faith would be a good way to describe that, and persistent. So prayer that is intense and energized by faith and persistent of a righteous man. This word is not talking about our positional righteousness. When we're saved, we are made righteous by Christ. This phrase in this text is talking about being right with God in our everyday life. And so being obedient and being in a right relationship with God availeth much. The last phrase there has much force when exercised, accomplishes much. And so here's a paraphrase of that. Prayer that is intense and energized by faith and persistent, which is made by the people who are living for God in obedience, has much force on this earth. And that kind of sets the stage for us, because if we ever talk about prayer in any context, what we're wanting to know is, how does it work? We want to experience the power of prayer, right? We want this to be a very real thing for us in our lives. The main idea of this verse seems to be that the prayers of God's people who are living for Him accomplish much. So let me ask a question. What if the greatest thing that we could ever do for our children is pray for them? By the way, it is. What if the greatest thing that we could ever do as a church for this community and this county and the people who know of us and we reach out to, what if the greatest thing that we could ever accomplish would happen because of prayer and not strenuous effort? Now, I don't want to put those against each other, because I think it takes strenuous effort as well. You've heard me say the founder of the Salvation Army said, work like it depends on you, pray like it depends on God. One author on prayer said, if we were really convinced that prayer changes the way God acts, and that God does bring about remarkable changes in the world in response to prayer, as Scripture repeatedly teaches that He does, then we would pray much more than we do. If we pray little, it is probably because we do not really believe that prayer accomplishes much at all. And yet, our verse that we just read says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. Accomplishes much. So what do we need to know about the power of prayer, about effective, fervent prayer that accomplishes much? Again, this is a sermon that is more of a general approach, but there's things that I think we need to know about prayer that help us in participating in this spiritual activity. And so the first thing that I want you to see here in reference to effective prayer, that there is the matter of unanswered prayer. There is the matter of unanswered prayer. Does God always answer prayer? Some of y'all are afraid to say anything right now. Does God always answer prayer? Well, it makes us feel good to say that He does. It gives us great comfort and encouragement. It's sort of a sentimental thing for us to be able to say, God always answers prayer. But the Bible indicates otherwise. That God does not always answer prayer. You may say, well, God always answers prayer, preacher. It's either, He answers in one of three ways. He says yes, He says no, or He says wait a little while. And I guess that we could say that no is an answer. But when you pray and heaven is silent, and there is no movement of the hand of God in your life in those circumstances, I'm telling you, that is not an answered prayer. That's not an answered prayer. So, boy, this is an encouraging message this morning. Nothing's wrong necessarily. But out of His infinite wisdom and His great love for us, He has chosen not to answer a particular prayer and change or respond to the circumstances which we find ourselves in. It's been pointed out that if that's happened to you, you're in good company. Jesus Himself was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane as He was on His way to the cross, and He said, Father, if it is Your will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, Your will be done. Obviously, Jesus was perfect, and He prayed for the will of God. He wanted the will of God to happen more than anything else. But He also asked a question. He also said, let this cup pass from Me. That's the part that wasn't answered. How about the Apostle Paul? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, it says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Bible tells us specifically there. Peter asked, he pleaded for this thorn in the flesh, which was probably, scholars think, some type of physical impairment, maybe his eyes. Whatever it was, he wanted it gone, and he pleaded with the Lord three times, and the Lord did not respond to that prayer. Think about Old Testament character by the name of Joseph. Some of you know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, around Genesis 37. He was one of 12 brothers, his father's favorite. He had the coat of many colors. Maybe that brings back some memory to you. They were out tending sheep. Brothers are jealous because Joseph has had dreams, and he interprets dreams, and he comes to his father and his brothers and say, guess what? One of these days, you're going to bow down to me. If I'm the brother, I'm thinking, come here. Let me show you what I'm going to do. It's not going to be bow, but let me show you what I'm going to do. They're out tending the flocks, and the brothers are jealous. They want to get rid of him. They throw him in the pit. They take his coat, smear it with blood, so they can take it back to dad and say, he's dead. He's dead. Now just think for a moment. Is it possible that in the pit Joseph prayed to get out of the pit, to be restored in there with his brothers, go back home to his father? Then we know the story that he ends up in prison. There's a lot of things that happen in Joseph's life. Can you imagine with me, and I feel like it's pretty much a fact, that he's praying during these days. God does not take him out of the pit. God does not put him back. He does take him out of the pit in one way, but he doesn't take him out of the pit and put him back with his family. He doesn't make his circumstances the way that he might would have wanted them to be. In fact, at that time, there's no answer. He's just sold into slavery. But the answer comes later. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day, to save many alive. Now, those are just three examples. I think there are many other examples of unanswered prayer. But there are some clues here to why God sometimes chooses not to answer prayers. We must remember that Father knows best. That Father knows best. And that sometimes unanswered prayer causes us to experience the perfect will of God. Jesus, let this cup pass from me. That sometimes unanswered prayer demonstrates God's strength in the midst of our weakness, and as a result, the power of Christ rests on us in a way we've never experienced before, Paul. That sometimes unanswered prayer leads to the goodness of God in a way that we've never known, and by not answering our particular prayer and changing our circumstances, it leads to many lives being transformed and many people being saved. Joseph, here's what we have to know. According to the way I understand the Bible, God does not always answer prayers, and He has a reason why He doesn't answer certain prayers. And we may not know the reason while living on this earth, and we may not know until a lot later on. But one of the things this does for us is put us in the position to really be thankful for unanswered prayers. Some of you who've been living for the Lord for quite some time can probably think back along your life and think of prayers that you prayed and maybe now thank God for not answering them. Father knows best. And there's a reason why He sometimes chooses not to answer prayer. Romans 8:28 speaks to that reason. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. So an unanswered prayer does not mean God is not with us. Don't think that. Unanswered prayer does not mean that He's left us or forsaken us. Unanswered prayer does not mean necessarily that we have done anything wrong. Unanswered prayer just simply means God's in control. And it deepens our faith in depending on Him and trusting in Him. But there's not only the matter of unanswered prayer. There's the matter of unheard prayer. So the first question we ask is, does God always answer our prayer? No. Does God always hear our prayers? No. You might should have gone somewhere else for encouragement today, right? So, not according to what the Bible says. And by this, we do not mean that He is unable to hear our prayers, but that for specific reasons, He chooses not to listen to our prayers and respond to our prayers. Now, unheard prayers are different than unanswered prayers, because unheard prayers are those, listen carefully, here's the key, that are hindered by sin. Those are prayers that are hindered by sin. Remember the verse from James that we began with. The effective, fervent prayer that accomplishes much is offered by who? He said, by righteous people. People who are doing all they know to do to live for Jesus, to love Jesus, to continually, daily, to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Those who are living in fellowship with the Lord. That's who this is talking about. What does the Bible say? Or what does the Bible say about unheard prayers, preacher? Well, in Psalm 66 and verse 18, it simply says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What does that mean? Iniquity is sin. If I embrace sin in my life, if I hold on to it, if I practice it regularly, If I live with it as part of who I am, if it's something that I have regarded, that I am regarding in my heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Sounds like he's withholding something, doesn't it? "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Now, just with those two verses, we learn that sin and doubting in the way the Bible's talking about, which is a sin, a lack of faith, those things hinder our prayers. There are numerous other passages that point to specific reasons why God chooses not to hear our prayers. They can all be categorized with the one word, sin. It has to do with us being in fellowship with God and in fellowship with other people. Right, the two greatest commandments of all, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And when those are not right, it hinders our prayers. That kind of sin causes our prayers to be hindered and thus unheard. Now, let me just give you a list. I'm not going to give you these verses, but just a quick list. What hinders our prayers? What is it that causes God to choose not to hear and respond to our prayers? Unrepentant sin, unforgiveness in our hearts towards others, unbelief, having an insincere heart towards God, praying against God's revealed purpose, pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, selfishness. And you know, you might even, as you study your Bibles, find some surprises in there when it comes to effective praying and God not hearing our prayers and them being hindered by something that's going on in our lives. Take 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, for instance, men. It says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with the understanding..." This is your wives, "giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." What does it say? "That your prayers may not be hindered." Your relationship with your wife matters. It matters a lot. And it matters in reference to prayer and God hearing and responding to our prayers. How about Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13? "Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and" what? "Not be heard." You mean our prayers are affected by the way we treat the poor and those who are less fortunate? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. It behooves us to study our Bibles and know what it says about prayer. And to see in the Scriptures themselves, when prayer goes unanswered, what God might be doing and leading us to. And when prayers are unheard because of sin. Let me ask this question. It's an obvious question, but is there a wrong way to pray so that God will not hear us and respond? According to what we've just looked at in Scripture, the answer is yes. In fact, James even goes further and says, James chapter 4 and verse 3, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss." You ask wrongly so that you might spend it on your pleasures. All right, I've saved the best for last. There is the matter of effective prayer. There's the matter of effective prayer. Does God answer prayer and work mightily? Yes. Does prayer change the way God acts in the world and in our lives? Yes. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Specifically in, it talks about it specifically in particular passages, but also gives us illustration of it in the lives of the people of the Bible. And so you see on here, these three verses, not going to read them, but they all speak to the idea of God responding to our prayers. Hearing our prayers and responding. Jeremiah 33:3, we talked about last week. It says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. James 5:6 is the one we're dealing with today. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Accomplishes much. Effective prayer. Matthew 7:7-8, that's the passage where it talks about asking and seeking and knocking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But the Bible specifically says to pray. In these verses and others, God will hear our prayers. He'll respond to our prayers. You need not look any farther than the first few chapters of the book of Acts to see God's people pray and to see God respond to their prayers. So all throughout the book of Acts, prayer is exercised. You can see it being practiced in the life of the new church, and especially in the first few chapters. As they begin to pray, God begins to move. And in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, if you read the rest of chapter 12, go home and do that today, you will see how God responds to the prayers of His people. Chapter 12 gives us the evidence of God responding to the constant prayer that was being made by His people. Here's what happens. If you read it, you'll notice there is an awareness of the presence of God, and it's strong in the presence of the life of Peter. He's chained to the wall, and the Bible tells us that he's asleep. What awaits him the next day is likely death, because others have already been killed. Now, if you've been arrested and you've been thrown in prison and chained to the wall and you're going to die tomorrow, are you sleeping peacefully? Will you see with me for a moment evidence of prayer in the peace in the heart of a man who's waiting execution in prison? But not only is there awareness of God's presence and His peace, there is a dispatch of angels. You read the rest of the story, God dispatches His angels, they come and they free Peter from prison. They begin to work at God's command as a result of constant prayer being made by God's people. This isn't Old Testament stuff, so if you're one of those people who say, well, that's Old Testament, doesn't Old Testament still applies in many ways today. So don't go there. You need to see this happening in the New Testament church. What else happens? Well, the people are astonished at the answer. You ever been that way? They may even be surprised that he answered. But Peter's knocking on the door. I think it's Rhoda that comes to the door, and they're in there praying. He says, it's Peter. Rhoda says, what? It's Peter. What? She doesn't even open the door. She runs back inside. Guess who's at the door? And Peter's he's still knocking. They're astonished at the answer to the prayer. And then, oh, by the way, God moves in such a way that Herod, the one who is persecuting the Christians and the one that threw him in jail, is now eaten by worms. This is one of many examples of God hearing the prayers of His people and responding to those prayers. So there is the matter of effective praying. The matter of effective prayers is quite opposite of unheard prayers. So think about it this way. To correct the problems in your life that hinder your prayers, sin, is to become an effective prayer, to become effective in praying. So instead of being proud, we must humble ourselves to be effective in praying. So instead of being unforgiving, we must forgive even those, Jesus said, that are our enemies and that are hard to forgive if we want to pray effectively. Instead of holding on to sin in our lives and making excuses for it and justifying it, we must confess it and forsake it and repent of it in order to be in right fellowship with God and experience effective praying. You see, obedience to God and faithfulness to His Word allow for effective praying. The Bible also tells us, now here's some other things. Here's where I said there's just a lot to cover, and I can't go into detail. So either remember them, write them down, and go look them up. Effective praying involves praying in Jesus' name. Effective praying involves praying according to the will of God. Effective praying involves praying with perseverance, continuing in faith. The Bible tells us there's power in praying together, in agreeing with one another in prayer. There is much for us to learn about effective praying. But for our purposes today, especially after the first two points, I want you to be encouraged that prayer works. That prayer really does work. We need a good biblical understanding of the nature and work of prayer. We need to pray faithfully, and we need to pray earnestly, because if the effective, fervent prayer of God's people does much, avails much, accomplishes much. No, God does not always answer prayer, but there is a reason. No, God does not always hear prayer because of our sin. Yes. The last one's a hallelujah, right? The last one's a hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yes, God does hear the prayers of His people who are seeking Him and living faithfully according to His Word. So, knowing this, why wouldn't we understand prayer to be the greatest of all spiritual activities? Why wouldn't we begin to understand that in our lives, in our churches, that the greatest of all spiritual activities that we can participate in, that one that causes us to reach farther than we can without Him, and have an eternal impact in the lives of our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers, our family, that which makes the biggest difference of all, why wouldn't we put it on the top of the list and understand that it's the greatest thing? So interestingly enough, having grown up in church and having been a pastor for 25 years, having been in the Christian community, one of the things that we say to each other, especially when somebody shares with us something is going on in their life, is, I will pray for you. First question is, did you really go pray for them? I mean, saying that I'm praying for you is not the same as praying for you. That doesn't count as a prayer. I'm praying for you should mean I'm calling your name before Jesus today. And oh, by the way, there's nothing greater I can do for you. I have nothing else that I can give to you that is any greater than me bringing you and your family before Jesus today. Which causes me to wonder why sometimes we say, the least I can do is pray. Right? That's another part of our vocabulary. Well, I don't really have any money to give you. I don't have the time to come and help you do something. You know, I don't feel like I have the expertise to get involved in your situation. You know, the least I can do is pray. Wrong. The greatest thing you can do for me is pray. The greatest thing I can do for you is pray. The greatest thing you can do for your children. Why? Because God hears the prayers of His people. And He works in our lives in ways that we cannot. In ways that we absolutely cannot. S.D. Gordon once wrote, listen carefully, it's kind of wordy. You may have heard it before. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. Think about that for a moment. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. That's the effective power of prayer in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches, in our towns. My prayer is that we will live close to God. That we will experience individually and as a church sweet fellowship with Jesus. That we will live close to God, and that we will be able to say, I sought the Lord and He answered me. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. God, thank You for helping us to have a good understanding of, as best we can, of prayer. Lord, understanding that there are times when prayers go unanswered. Help us to immediately know that Father knows best, and there's a reason for this. And God, when we find ourselves in a place in life where our prayers are being hindered by sin and not being listened to because of that, convict us so that we can confess that sin and be made right with You. Father, we are grateful for answered prayer. And that all things work together for good to those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. Would You have Your way in our hearts, in our minds, these next few moments? God, direct our path, strengthen our faith, convict our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.